proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
A few years ago, I had the pleasure of visiting a place that I had always wanted to see, and that was the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Now, going in there, you will see all kinds of wonderful exhibits from baseball's glorious past. And I might say, speaking of the glorious past, as a Cubs fan, it was nice to see the words Cubs and World Series champions in the same sentence there. But I think my favorite exhibit, though, was a full uniform and baseball bat that had belonged to Babe Ruth in his glory days with the Yankees. You know, there was another great exhibit there, which was a display of baseballs from every perfect game in baseball history. At that time, it was only 17. It's incredible when you think of all the tens or even hundreds of thousands of baseball games that have been played over the years. Only 17 perfect games. It's now up to 20, but this was a few years ago. The Baseball Hall of Fame, it celebrates great earthly achievement in the world of baseball. And while we may enjoy watching that achievement, in the end, it's only fleeting glory, isn't it? Today we want to talk about another kind of achievement. We want to celebrate a greater achievement. And what is that greater achievement? It isn't a perfect game or home runs, batting averages, strikeouts. This greater achievement is faith, a faith that pleases God. And it is a glorious achievement that will endure throughout eternity, long after Cooperstown is gone. Hebrews chapter 11 has been called the Faith Hall of Fame. And in this series of messages, we've been discussing the need for us to persevere, to continue on in faith, not to give up. And here the author is pointing us to examples of men and women who have persevered in faith. By the way, I want you to know, as we look at this here today, this is not some lofty, unattainable goal for us. This isn't something that was just for a precious few, and we have their names listed in the Scripture. These were just a few people that we see in Scripture that this author mentions. And there are many, many more. And there have been many since those words were penned. And unlike the Baseball Hall of Fame, all of us here have a shot at joining the people that are listed in this chapter. In fact, I believe that there are many future Hall of Famers right here this morning, because I've seen it. I've seen your faith. I've seen how you've persevered through difficulty. I've seen what God has done in your life and through your life. We're going to go through this passage rather quickly here today. I know there is a lot to consider, and believe me, there are many, many messages that could come out of this chapter alone. So I was talking with a friend this week who said he has a friend where a pastor there at this church where he goes has also been preaching through the book of Hebrews, and he's been in chapter 11 for quite some time now. He says they are now on month number 21. Of their messages in Hebrews, which by my calculations would put it up to around 60, 70, 80 messages. So you can all breathe a sigh of relief. We will not be spending 21 months in this chapter here. Wow, indeed, yes. What we are going to do is examine the highlight reel this morning. The highlight reel. Now, when I was a kid, some of you are going to remember this. You may appreciate it as well. I used to love the halftime of Monday Night Football. Now, the game was great, too, okay? But I loved the halftime, and you wonder why. Well, because this was back in the days before 24-hour cable sports and sports news, and some of you are very grateful for those days when there was not 24-hour cable sports and sports news, right? But back in that day, you only saw a couple of NFL games a week. And then when Monday Night Football came along, that was great, and I see someone clapping right there. But that was great. When Monday Night Football came around, because you would, all the other games, this was just some mystery that you read about in the newspaper, you saw a box score there, you maybe saw just a little snippet in the evening news. But then came halftime on Monday Night Football when you had the highlight reel of the other games. And you finally got to see who these other teams were and these players that you knew only as a name in a paper. But today we're going to check out another highlight reel, a better one. This is the faith highlight reel, and it won't take 21 months. So we're going to move quickly here. We're going to start Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 4. It says, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." See a few names here, Abel and Enoch and Noah. You might wonder, last week we looked at this and we saw where it started with the creation, how faith begins with this acknowledgement of God, of his existence, but of God as creator, and how God created all things by his power, by his command, out of nothing. Genesis chapter 1, and now we start working our way through the Old Testament. And we jump to Abel, and some of you might think, why aren't Adam and Eve listed here? Weren't they men and women of faith? Well, I would suggest, yes, they were, and they are. But one commentator suggested that the whole focus on this was faith, was this confidence in things not seen. Whereas Adam and Eve, they saw God. They walked with God in the garden. Abel, Enoch, Noah, faith in things not seen. Abel, recall, he brought this sacrifice to God, and God was well pleased with this sacrifice. But his brother Cain, God was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice. Why? I think it was because of Cain's attitude. Cain did not bring it in faith. He brought it out of obligation. He was supposed to do this. Whereas Abel brought it in faith, out of a desire to know and to please God. And what did Abel receive for his faith and his obedience? What was his earthly reward? He was murdered by his brother, wasn't he? But God was pleased with his faith, and so much so, he says, and by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. That faithful men and women leave a legacy for others. We see this mysterious person, Enoch. Who is he? Well, there's a very short mention of him in the scriptures here, and he's a fascinating character, though, because he was one who never experienced death. God just took him. Why was that? Well, I think that God was so pleased with him, with this intimate communion, fellowship, relationship that he had with Enoch, that he desired to skip death and just bring him directly into his presence. Now, can you imagine that? That if your communion, your fellowship with God is so great that God just decides to bring you directly to himself? And that's what he did with Enoch. Of course, you all know the story of Noah then too. Noah, here he was told to do something, a very difficult task, surrounded by people who jeered at him. God said that he was going to send a great flood. He was going to destroy the world and to build this boat. They're way out in the middle of dry land. But Noah, by faith, believed God. In spite of the ridicule of his neighbors, in spite of the... Have you ever thought about just how incredibly improbable that was? But he obeyed God. Faith, in spite of the improbability of it all. Let's continue our story then in verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, I love that description in there. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Abraham, here is a man, he was told to leave his country, to leave behind everything he had and go to a place where God was showing. God didn't even tell him where he was going to go. How many of us would have that kind of faith to just pick, just to leave behind everything we have and to go and not even know for sure where we're going? Just say, God said, go to the land I will show you. Oh, and by the way, your wife, who had been barren for years and now was well past childbearing years, she's going to have a son. And out of this son then will come others, and this, I will make a great nation out of you. And Abraham himself, he was as good as dead. What? He was old. Leave your country. Your wife is going to have a child, even though she's been barren and she's now well past her years. And you're pretty old yourself. And I'm not even going to tell you where you're going to go. And I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to do it all. But I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And of course, that great nation became the Hebrews, the Jewish people, out of whom would come the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But there's more than just that. He was also talking, God was speaking of another great nation, and that great nation is who? It's you. It's all of us by faith. We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. We are that great nation God was speaking of. The descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Sarah demonstrated faith. Well, wait a minute, I know the story. She laughed when she heard that. Well, she did, didn't she? But God was faithful anyway, and she ultimately remained faithful. And then Abraham was brought to a crisis moment. Finally, after years and, yes, some mistakes and even some sins along the way, God was faithful to bring Isaac through Sarah. That young man grew up. We usually see him in Sunday school's stories. We see illustrations where Isaac is about, 6 or 7 years old, his little boy there. He wasn't. He was a young man. He was probably 18 years old or older. He could have very easily overpowered Abraham, but Abraham took him up to the mountaintop, and he was prepared to sacrifice his son. Would you have the faith to do that? The Old Testament in Genesis doesn't tell us this, but here we see it, that Abraham reasoned that even if he were to do this, God would have the power to bring him back from the dead. Would you be able to do that? And of course, we know the story. God stopped him. It was a test of his faith. And Abraham passed that test. The story continues, though. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. A lesson here, reminders from the books of Genesis and Exodus of God's faithfulness. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, the parents of Moses, Joshua, Rahab, many different stories, and flawed men and women too, weren't they? But they all continued or persevered in faith, believing that God had plans and purposes for them. They were confident in the unseen, sure of that which had not yet happened, because they believed the character and the power of God. And what more shall I say? What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. And we're going to stop there for a moment. What do you see here? Again, stories of great triumph, isn't it? Of victory. The lions. Who shut the mouth of lions? Daniel. Who endured through the flames? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, you're like me, I remember when I was young, my mom used to read Bible stories to me, and whenever we'd get to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, she would always say, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go for that. So I can't, every time I see that name, I can't help but think of that. Well, you might think, glory. Glory, victory, one victory after another here. Some of you know Paul Harvey, the radio commentator for years. He would always start a story and then he would say, and now for the rest of the story. Well, here's the rest of the story up to this point. We're thinking, boy, this just sounds great. I want to be a man or woman of faith too. This sounds wonderful. Look at the ways God triumphed in the lives of these men and women. I want God to triumph in my life too. I want glory. I want victory in Christ too. But there's a different kind of glory. There's a different kind of victory. And that's where our author takes us here. He says, others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. Boy, that doesn't sound as good as the earlier stuff, does it? The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Stories of great glory and victory, and yet there is another kind of glory. There is another victory. And that is those who endured through hardship and persecution and even death, and sometimes horrible death, for their faith. Tortured, jeers, flogging, prison, stoned. The prophet Zechariah was stoned by his own people. That reference there to being sawed in two. Well, there is a tradition that that's exactly what happened to the prophet Isaiah. You think about it, you read the book of Isaiah, he's God's great prophet, and what was his earthly reward? The evil king Manasseh put him in a log and then had the log sawed in two. Did you know that happened to Isaiah? And you know, these kinds of things, these still happen today, aren't they? People, the church is a persecuted body. Received a letter this week. This is from Voice of the Martyrs. Some of you know them. They've come and spoken here before. But this is an example. This is a letter that there are Christians around the world that receive letters like this. This is an example. Imagine if you received this. You were living in a Muslim country and you had converted to Christianity. You might receive a letter like this, as some believers have. It said, "In the name of Allah and of his final prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the true religion of Islam will arise in your area. You cannot stop Allah's will. We have been watching your family. We have seen you go to church and seen you pray to your false god. We know that you are infidels, and we will deal with you as our holy Quran declares. In Surah 9, verse 5, it says to slay the idolaters wherever you find them, take them captive and besiege them. It also says in Surah 9, verse 29, to fight those who have been given the scripture, and believe not in Allah or the last day, or follow not the religion of truth. If you and your entire family do not leave your false religion and follow Islam, you will be killed. Your sons will be slaughtered, and your daughters will become Muslim wives, bearing sons who will fight for Allah in this region. Your only other option is to flee tonight, leave your home and everything behind." Our brothers and sisters in Christ have received that letter, or letters like that. So faith isn't all about earthly glory and victory, is it? It sometimes is about earthly pain and sorrow, persecution, or even death. But whatever circumstances we may face, God calls us to persevere in faith to the end. Why? Because he's taking us to a place that I want to call the end of the beginning. The end of the beginning. Time is coming when all of this is going to culminate in what we call the end times. But yet, the end times isn't the end of all things, is it? It is only the beginning. The end of the beginning. It says, "These were all commended for their faith, and yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect." Wait a minute. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. I thought God was faithful and he could be trusted. You said they were all faithful and some of them even endured horrible deaths for him, and yet and they didn't receive what had been promised. What's the author saying? He's saying that they have not, and even we here today, we have not received everything that has been promised. Has God been faithful? Yes, he has. We see the examples of that, of victory in there. But even in what we would call defeat, God is still faithful because they have not and we have not yet received everything that has been promised. And that's what the author's referring to. He's referring to God's final, ultimate purpose, which is what? The complete eradication of sin in you and me and all who believe, and in this earth, and a new and glorious new heaven and new earth, reigning forever with him in power. And so they did not see everything that had been promised. They did not receive everything that had been promised, but they persevered in faith because they believed one day they would receive what was not seen. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. The Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, the church, ultimately we are one great body of God's people, aren't we? And together we will all inherit everything that God has planned. There are a lot of lessons we could pull out from this passage we've just read. But I want to leave you with a Mare 9. What? First was this, faith pleases God. We talked about that last week. God is pleased when we trust him. In spite of appearances, when we trust, he will do what he says he will do. Faith believes God regardless of appearances. You know, for many of them, especially you think of Noah, but many others, Abraham, appearance-wise, it didn't look very good for them, did they? But they believed anyway. Faith pleases God. Faith believes God regardless of appearances. Sometimes faith is critically tested. Sometimes, somebody's saying, all the time. Probably all of us have had our faith critically tested at one time or another, haven't we? Faith leaves a legacy. Faith leaves a legacy. We see of those who left that legacy by their example, but in also how they spoke of God and the things of God and transferred it down to their children and their children's children. There are many of us who are here today because we are the product of a spiritual legacy. Some of you, you may be the first Christian in your family. Others of you, there are Christians that go back many generations. But whatever our situation, God calls all of us to leave a legacy for those who would come after us. Faith chooses hardship over sinful pleasures. We saw that in the story of Moses. There is no better life than the life of faith and trust in God, and yet it may very well entail some hardship and difficulty, doesn't it? And that's better than temporary sinful pleasures of this world. Faith is rewarded in both the mundane and the miraculous. What do I mean by that? Sometimes faith can be, and I don't mean to denigrate faith, I don't mean this at all, but sometimes there is a kind of faith that is an ordinary kind of faith, which is what? Simply being faithful and persevering day in and day out in whatever circumstances in which God has placed us. And God is pleased with that. Sometimes faith is seen, though, in miraculous ways. Powerful demonstrations of his glory and power. Some of you have seen God do amazing things in your life. But regardless of our circumstances, whether they're more ordinary or something extraordinary, God is pleased and rewards that faith. Faith perseveres through human sin and weakness. I'm so glad for this one. Aren't you? Yeah, you look at the story there. We could do a study on each one of these persons, and we would see very clearly they had their faults, didn't they? Their sin, and sometimes their moments of even rebellion against God. But faith perseveres, it continues, it moves past, it repents. And God knows that we are, God knows that you are, God knows that I am but dust. Faith may bring great earthly comfort or great earthly hardship. Some of you may feel, you look at your life and you just say, Lord, what have I done to deserve this blessing? Maybe someone else might think, though, Lord, what have I done to deserve this hardship? Why the difference? I don't know. That's one of the questions we can ask God one day. But whatever our circumstance, faith endures and perseveres through it. Because why? Faith will bring infinitely great heavenly reward. It's so easy to take that for granted, isn't it? When you think about the new heaven and the new earth. Persevere, continue in faith. Faith is a journey. Where are you on the journey of faith? Have you begun the journey by putting your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior? If so, are you walking with Him in a life worthy? We talked in the high school Sunday school class this morning, and we're studying Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4 in the beginning there where it says about how therefore, in light of all these amazing blessings that we have in Christ, what God has done for us in Him, therefore that we are to walk or live our lives in a manner worthy of our calling. You can't pay God back for your salvation. I haven't earned mine. But we can live our lives in such a way that it brings pleasure to God. What is a worthy life? Well, it's gratitude. It's obedience. It's faithfulness. Persevering in faith, that's a worthy life. You know, there's someone here this morning who knew me in high school. I'm not going to point that person out. But I will say I visited the Hall of Fame with her brother just a few years ago. And that person, if she chose to speak, and I hope she chooses not to speak, she could tell you about what I was like in high school. Now, I believed then, but, you know, I was young. I was a teenager, and sometimes teenagers do some pretty crazy things like maybe burn up your friend's mother's carpet with fireworks, maybe. She's laughing now. That's another story. We'll save that for another time, but we've all done silly things, haven't we? We all start at one point, but the question is are we progressing in faith? Are we progressing in faith? Because it is a journey. And do you want God's final reward more than anything else in this life? I want to conclude with a little story I saw on the news here recently. I thought it was interesting, you know, if people do this in this life, how much more so ought we to do this in light of eternity? Did you see this story? It was about a teenager who bartered. He used eBay. He started off with a cell phone, and he eventually ended up with a Porsche. How do you get from a cell phone to a Porsche? Well, he did this. It says his cell phone was traded for an iPod Touch. The iPod begat a dirt bike. The dirt bike begat a laptop computer. And then there was another series of trades which eventually led to a Toyota 4Runner, a Ford Bronco SUV, and ultimately the coveted Porsche. So here, this kid traded in his cell phone and eventually ended up with a Porsche out of it. Well, you know what? Maybe today someone here needs to trade in what you're holding on to for something better. Trade in your self-reliance. Trade in your hardships and difficulties. Trade in all of that for faith that pleases God and receives something far better than a Porsche. Receive eternal life and blessing. Persevere in faith. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to persevere in faith, but we know that we need your grace and your mercy because we are not capable of continuing on in our own strength. And that's why we're grateful, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, that you've given him to us as a down payment, as a pledge of all that is to come, that he resides within us by faith. He empowers us to understand your word and to live a life that is pleasing to you, a life that is worthy of the calling. He convicts us of sin. God, give us a special sensitivity to his voice and to listen to his voice, whatever he is saying right now to you, to me. Lord, may we persevere in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ. This we pray in his name. Amen.